Wayne State University football. It's all about the W. It's time for Winters on Wednesday, the insider's look at Wayne State football. Your host is none other than Warrior head football coach Paul Winters, along with Patriot studio host Rod Beard, as they catch you up on everything Wayne State football. Now, here's Rod Beard with Coach Winters.
Good evening and welcome to another scintillating edition of the Winners on Wednesday show on 1400 AM The Patriot. I'm Rod Beard and I'm riding shotgun with Wayne State football coach Paul Winters, who is in a good mood, we'll call it, this week. The result notwithstanding, a 30-21 loss at home against Ashland in a game that went back and forth and back and forth. It came down to the final couple of possessions, but Wayne State falls a little bit short, falls to 1-2, but gets ready for this week, hitting the road against Saginaw Valley State for week four of the season. And, Coach, it's you look at this in a lot of different ways, and folks will say a loss is a loss. You're coming to this in a different way. I'll skip to my headline. My headline is, it feels like you found a quarterback, and the result doesn't matter if you make a big enough revelation like that Jake Amrine, your sophomore, looks to be your quarterback for now and for the foreseeable future.
I hate to lose. I really hate to lose. So there is no silver lining or anything else like that. Obviously, Jake did some outstanding things, and we're looking forward to him progressing. He's a young man who's very talented and has done great things for us in that game. But you just hate to lose that game. You know, that's a game we should have won.
From the standpoint that there had been some inconsistency at the position, and this was your third different quarterback that you've started in the first three games, but Jake goes 16-27, 211 yards, three touchdowns, and the box score will say two interceptions. It was really one. I mean, the last one was a desperation sort of heave that he was just trying to get something done. And the Jeff Weiss stat of the week, it's the most yards by a quarterback in his first start since 2002, and that was James Phillips. And I say that's the headline because with so much struggle that you had in the opening weeks of the season, to see what Jake Amrine was able to do in this game made me feel like, wow, that's the guy. And it's very, very clear, and no disrespect and no nothing to be said negative about any of your other quarterbacks, but – for his first start, for the situation that he was in, Jake played just a whale of a game for you.
Yeah, he did. He played extremely well, and I think we have four drops. So that's 20 of 27, basically. He's tall. He's strong. He has great vision, and what he showed on Saturday was great patience. So we're very excited about that. But I think what I've tried to say over the weeks is, all three of the quarterbacks that started are capable of having really good games. And you go through their careers, and, you know, DJ's started the season last year with 9 touchdowns in the first three games. Dakota Cup was 3-1 at the end of last season and played extremely well. So, you know, they didn't have great starts. We had some issues to start the season. But even last year I was saying – Jake Amrine might end up being the best of the bunch. So, you know, what he did it surprise me? No. I think on the show last week I said, you're going to be happy with him.
If he plays like he did in practice.
Right. Exactly. And he did that. So, you know, when you have guys who are talented like our guys are, you expect them to have success.
And I think what I liked most was the poise that he showed probably from the second quarter on, late in the first quarter, early in the second quarter on, and the first touchdown pass that he threw to Darice Roberson was picture perfect. He dropped it into a bucket in a spot where only Darice can catch it, and it was on the money. And it's what you would expect from a more seasoned and a more veteran quarterback, but – I think that's the thing, is it's the throws. He can make the throws. Yeah. And the other stuff, it's going to come with experience and with more reps and with everything else, but you just like to see a guy who can make the throws and put it in the right spot for you.
He has arm talent.
Arm talent is there. You don't necessarily teach
that,
but
he has arm talent. He made a throw today in practice that I watched it, and I'm like, you can't do – okay, that was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it was like he can't make that throw, and there were – honest to goodness, it was like he hit a guy between you and me.
Yeah.
And I was like, he can't make that throw, and that thing was – I was like, okay, I guess he can.
But I think it's just going to be a case – as a sophomore, it's just going to be a case of getting the reps and figuring those things out. And, again, I pointed to the poise. Once he got into a good rhythm and a good flow, it was this pass is coming. It's zooming. He's got command of the huddle. Everything is working the way that you would see a more veteran quarterback
right.
doing things. And it's good to see that stuff is starting to sink in. And it seems like the guys want to play for him, and they'll go out and – those drops are going to turn into catches
I think so.
Down the road.
I think so. I think you're right. What you watch with him as the game progressed, exactly like you said, you could see him go through his progression.
Right.
And it wasn't just the first throw. He was just going to throw it to the first guy he saw. He went through progressions and made good decisions. And there weren't too many times where, you know, Coach Reardon came back and said, yeah, you shouldn't have done that. He was kind of like, okay, did you see this and did you see that? Well, you made that decision and you looked him off and threw it to him. And, you know, he played the position the way you would hope a young man would play the position.
Now it's just a case of building on that. If you're just joining us, this is the Winners on Wednesday show. We're at Tony V's in Midtown Detroit on Cass Ave, just south of I-94. This is the Winners on Wednesday show, the Wayne State football and Wayne State athletics, we'll say, show with Coach Paul Winters, and I'm Rod Beard. To me, the story of this game was more the miscues and the other things that the things that you just hurt yourself with. There were a couple of drops. There was a interception that was dropped that could have been caught. A fumble in your own end. Those types of things that you take.
They beat you. They cost you.
You take one or two of those away. You're in the game. You take one or two of those away, and this is a completely different game.
There's absolutely no way that game should have been close when you think about fumbling the ball on a punt, fumbling the ball coming out of the end zone. So there's two times we set them up inside the 20, basically.
Yep.
And we had the ball on the ground four times. We stopped ourselves from scoring. We had interceptions, I think five turnovers if you count the punt. And the game ends up being a 9-point game and against a good football team. We really played well when we weren't turning the ball over.
Yep.
I mean, in fact, we were physically dominant at times on offense. And defensively, we struggled a little bit, gave up some big plays. But offensively, from the very first play, I had a pro scout in the day. He's looking at a left guard and their left tackle. He goes, I can't believe what your left guard and left tackle did to their three technique all day.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, like, he was rolling off the ball. And he's a good football player.
Yep.
And Israel Helms and Tommy Richardson dominated the game. And Justin Toxtein and Charlie Younger and those guys just – physically, you know, that's you get excited about Jake, and I do too, but the way the offensive line is playing is really, really exciting.
You mentioned the fumble on the punt attempt. Is that just a lack of concentration? Because he catches the ball, and then it's as he's going down to let it go to kick it, it just falls out of his hand. That's just a concentration thing. That's not a pressure thing or anything else. It's just one of those
pressure.
Things that you assume that it's going to happen.
There's no pressure. There was no reason for it to happen. I can't explain it. You don't picture that in your head happening.
No.
So when it happened, you just have to, okay, it happened. There's no reason it happened. There's nothing you can do to correct it. What you have to do is just go play defense and make them kick a field goal. We didn't. Despite that happening, despite all the mistakes we made in the first half, we fought that thing out to tie games. So it's we're starting the second half even.
Yeah. I mentioned last week about the need to get out there and to score some points in the first half because there had been those offensive struggles. And you get two touchdowns in the first half. The one right before halftime to me was so very critical because it's showing that Jake has a grasp of what's going on in the moment. And to see a guy who's running a two-minute or three-minute offense, and to be able to get you down the field and get you in the end zone right before halftime, again, is showing the development that he's making just so quickly that he can lead that type of drive. That's not easy, just to put a guy in there and to put him in that situation.
Yeah,
and have him
drive.
Succeed.
It was a good drive, and I was happy with the way we controlled the clock because we never panicked. We never thought, okay, we need to call another timeout. We need to do this. We need to rush. We ran that clock to the point where we gave him the ball back with 3 seconds, I think, and that's exactly what we wanted to do. So we were very happy with that.
Yeah, so that I think that was one of the bigger pieces for me was the offense looked good in that first half. You're sitting at halftime at 14-14, and you're feeling good against a very good team that you're playing them straight up. You're on your home turf, and everything looks like it's going to be the way you want it to be. It just went a little bit south after halftime. And it's from a defensive standpoint, it was just more of third down conversions, and we've talked about that in the
couldn't
past
get
couple
off the
weeks.
Field.
You have to be able to get off the field on third down, whether it's third and long, third and short, third and whatever. You just got to be able to do that.
You know, first half of that game, we had the ball for 19 minutes.
Yeah, 19 to 10, I remember that.
And the second half, they had it for 19 minutes, basically. So the difference was they couldn't get us off the field on third down in the first half. And in the second half, we couldn't get them off the field. So it was kind of just a game of rallies. And when we turned the ball over on offense, we really put the defense in a hole because we gave them short fields. And even then, they're only kicking field goals.
Yeah, and you can't ask your defense to continuously
you can't, exactly
do that.
Right.
Hey, we're giving them the ball at the 25 or the 20 or something. Hey, go out and hold them to a field goal. Well, I mean.
Yeah, that's not how you win games.
No.
I mean, they had no turnovers.
Yeah, and on the road, that's the type of game you have to play is a solid game with no turnovers or few turnovers, few penalties, and give yourself a chance at the end of the game. Those are all the things they did. We're going to continue breaking this game down. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back. And when we get back, we'll have a senior spotlight interview with Paul Graham
and Israel Helms.
Dynamic duo. Yeah. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Hey, Wayne State. Are you looking for childcare right here on campus? Rainbow Child Care Center is now open in Midtown. Come visit Rainbow's new Midtown location and see why so many families call Rainbow their home away from home. Located at the corner of Brush and Mac, Rainbow Child Care Center is the perfect place for your little one to grow and develop. Whether you're in the classroom or at work, enjoy the peace of mind that comes with your child being right next door. Visit rainbowccc.com/Detroit or call 800-90-LEARN. That's 800-905-3276. rainbowccc.com/Detroit and learn more.
Michigan First Credit Union is the exclusive financial institution of Wayne State Athletics. With 2 branches and 11 ATMs on or near campus, our goal is to make your life easier and to exceed your expectations. Why choose anyone else for your banking needs? Let us show you why we're the best choice. Visit MichiganFirst.com for details. Michigan First Credit Union is proud to support Wayne State Athletics. Go Warriors!
At Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Blue Care Network, we work hard to show our members how much we value them. It's nice to know they feel the same way. We're proud to receive the 2018 J.D. Power Award for having the highest member satisfaction among commercial health plans in Michigan. Every day, our focus is all about serving our members. To learn more, visit bcbsm.com. For J.D. Power 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Sometimes it's fun to drive, like when your friend gives you the keys to their new car for a test drive. And sometimes it's not fun to drive, like when you're at a concert and want to have a few cocktails but then have to drive home. Whether you're taking a small group of friends out for a night on the town or you're planning a trip for a large group of 50 or more, Trinity Transportation has you covered. They've got a huge fleet of vehicles, including vans, minibuses, and full-size luxury buses. Call them at 877-284-4200 or visit them on the web at trinitytransportation.com. When you want to have fun but don't want to drive, let Trinity Transportation take care of you. And please, don't drink and drive.
Hey, fellas, let's go now. Let's have a great day. Let's have some fun, fellas. Have some fun with it. Warrior Pride on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Warrior Pride.
Great job.
Ah.
Warrior Dead. Team Rally.
Ready.
I said Warrior Dead. Team Rally.
Ready.
Ready. Begin.
W-A-R-R-O-R-S. Warriors.
Hey, Warrior fans. This is
senior kicker Paul Graham, joined by offensive tackle Israel Helms. And we're going to give you a little bit of an inside look at Wayne State football today. So, Israel, what are you studying here at Wayne State?
I am studying electrical engineering. What are you studying at Wayne State, Paul?
I am getting my MBA. I'm concentrating in finance and entrepreneurship and innovation. I'm going to be done here in December, so I'm excited. What are your plans for after graduation?
Hopefully, maybe the league or going into corporate, working as an engineer. How about you, Paul?
I hope that I don't have to go into the corporate world with my entrepreneurship and innovation certification. but I ultimately want to own my own business, but in the meantime, I'll probably work for Ally Financial or Quicken Loans, where I held two internships at. But we'll see how it plays out. What are some of your pregame rituals or superstitions?
I like to listen to music before the game starts, and there's a certain song called Reaching for Higher Ground, I believe, or just Higher Ground, that I've actually listened to since we were both at St. Mary's before every game. So I always start off getting dressed to that song. And then there are two motivational speaking songs that I like to listen to before we go onto the field to stretch. So I find those three songs like important, kind of getting me like honed in.
It's a long time you listen to the same song.
Yes, it is. What is your favorite memory at Wayne State, Paul?
My favorite memory would have to be in 2013. It was a first home game of the year against Ashland. They were a ranked opponent. They were, I think, like in the low teens. First night game at Wayne State, first home game too. I think we set like an attendance record that night, and we obviously ended up winning. So that was a big memory. It was awesome though. I was really excited to be a part of the team, and I remember just thinking, like, my brother went to Eastern Michigan, he was at that game, and he's like, you guys bring a bigger crowd than we do. So set the bar really high for Wayne State football. Got me excited, and that's definitely my favorite memory. So Israel, what is your dream job?
My dream job would be working with DC Comics and either playing or being a part of the first, like, black Batman. I'm a big comic book nerd.
Okay.
And, like, I would love to, like, break down, like, the movie plan or, like, the cartoon plans and be like, listen, this is our image of Batman. This is where we've gone wrong. This is how we should implement it and work with the whole, like, just kind of, like, copying Marvel, but a whole, like, 10-year plan of DC Comics and making it the first, the better comic book brand for little kids. So, like, the little kids on the field know Batman's better than Superman and vice versa.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay.
So, Paul, different topic, but what was your first football team that you played for?
My first football team was in seventh grade. I went to St. Patrick's in White Lake, but they didn't have a football team, so we all played for Our Lady of Refuge.
Okay.
And that was right across the street. St. Mary's, obviously. But, yeah, so that was kind of the feeder team for St. Mary's in a little bit. Like, that's where me and, like, five other guys came from. Went to St. Mary's, and now
we
didn't
move around a lot at all.
Not a whole lot, no. No, from Orchard Lake to Orchard Lake and now to Detroit, all within, like, a 50-mile radius. Change the subject again. What is your favorite study spot on campus?
My group of engineers, we have a system in which we schedule the same room on the third floor. It's one of the big conference rooms. I think it has like the six tables and the nice window. We book it, like today I think we have it booked from 1 to 7. So each person in the group takes their job in reserving it. And so if I know it's Monday or Wednesday, no matter who's in there from that time period, I know I can kick them out because my group has reserved it.
Nice.
So that is my secret spot, yeah.
Okay.
Now, Paul, just closing out, what are some of your pregame rituals or superstitions?
My pregame rituals are kind of unique in the sense that I don't listen to music or anything of that nature. I don't really. Yeah, I know. kind of crazy. But yeah, I don't know. It's just the position I play. Like, I don't get like overly hyped up. The more emphasis that I put on a game, the more pressure, and that tends to not be good for kickers, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, I can see
but,
that.
So I'm kind of the opposite. I just kind of listen to stuff that's going to like calm myself down, just keep me composed. Actually, I listen to like sports psychology books all the time. It just helps me. Like, half the time, I'm not even like, listening to what they're saying, but just like having a soothing voice in your ear, reading a book is, I don't know, it works for me. It's done really well, and that's what I do.
Now, what service do you use? Like, do you use the audiobook?
Audible.
Audible,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I've heard of them.
Yep. Specifically, Barbara Tello is the guy I listen to.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's been working. It's got some good insight. So.
Alrighty. Well, thanks for joining us today, Warrior fans. We hope to see you out at our next home game on September 29th at Tom Adams Field. Now we're going to send you back to Coach Winters and Rob Beard.
Those were the stylings of Israel Helms and Paul Graham, and a lot of interesting stuff to take from that. And what I'll hit on first is the idea that you've got guys who are, Paul working on his MBA and Israel an engineer. It's not like at some other schools where you just lump all of your players into kinesiology and just say, hey, your job is to play football, and whatever you do after you get your degree in kinesiology is up to you. This is really something that they all take a lot of heart into.
I actually think we counted it. We have 6 or 7 young men who are in grad school.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about – everybody talks about their graduates. Well, our players are graduates.
Yeah.
So we're pretty proud of that.
No, and just the hardcore majors like that, it's always good to see that guys are looking forward and not so much emphasis on what their post-collegiate career is going to be in terms of football, but, hey, this degree has to actually mean something if I'm going to go out here and use it.
Exactly. You look at the guys who've graduated over the last few years or since I've been here, and you look at like a Trent Broadbeck. He was a young man who had opportunities for different companies competing for him before his senior season ended.
Yep.
Same with like a Mickey Mockner. You can go down the list of guys who have excelled in the classroom and have gone on to great careers. So I'm very proud of these young men.
Now, I don't usually do this because I just don't like to do it. But I got an email on Sunday or Monday from a fan who said, here's a situation. Coach needed to go. It was a 4th-and-10 situation. Ashland took a penalty. It turns into a 4th-and-5. On the 4th-and-10 play, you had lined up for a field goal. So you get 4th-and-5, and you go for it. And Jake throws an interception on this play. It was a busted play, broken play, didn't quite go the way it was drawn up at all. But this fan was saying, you take the 3 points because you're right there. And I said, the reply was, it's not a guaranteed 3 points, first of all. But then also, you've got a young quarterback. You're at home. If you're going to make a gamble in a situation like this, this is it. You've been running the ball well. This is a good drive that got you down inside the red zone. But this is an opportunity that you can take as a coach, and you don't have to take the 3 points there. And this email was full of stats about pro coaches say this on 4th down, blah, blah, blah. But just walk through a little bit of what that decision-making is like in a situation that's like that.
First of all, I'm glad that there's a fan passionate enough to
very passionate.
And I appreciate that. We need more passionate people, and no matter what they call me. Anyway, the decision to kick the field goal at first, obviously, is 4th-and-10. But we got him to jump, so it's 4th-and-5. We missed the field goal.
That's the key element in all of this.
That was a concern to me because it's not automatic that we're going to make the field goal. We called a play that we knew could be open. And we knew that they were going to pressure us. They did pressure us. We had the right protection. But for whatever reason, we didn't run the play as we had planned to run it. So the spacing wasn't very good. And there was a man who was in man coverage who was covering a guy we had blocking who intercepted the ball. So if we go out and execute the play, it's a smart play. But overall, I'd say he's right. I should have kicked the field goal. And had we missed field goal, then I would have been wrong about missing the field goal. So, you know, I don't really worry about that.
Yeah.
I don't second-guess those decisions. Because did that cost us a game? No, it didn't cost us a game. What cost us a game more than anything else is we turned the ball over. If we don't turn the ball over, in that drive, we fumbled a zone play and lost 8 yards. Yep. That's why it was 4th and 10, because they weren't slowing us down. We were getting first down after first down and running the ball, and we had run it down there. Again, we don't fumble the ball. We don't fumble the handoff. I don't make that decision.
No, and I think for some fans, it's almost this video game mentality of, yeah, the field goal is automatic. Well, if the field goal on 4th and 10 was automatic, then you should have been able to make that one. If you don't, then as a coach, those things seep into your head and say, well, notwithstanding the field goal attempt, it's still, now we're 4th and 5. Now we're in a good
spot.
And if we score right here, this game takes
and
a completely different tenor.
And if we don't, we pin them inside the 10-yard line.
Sure.
So, you know, you have to look at that too. We had a big turnover, and they got good field position. But the point is, had we made the field goal and they had gotten the penalty, who's to say I would have taken the points off the board?
Yeah.
I would have said, hey, okay, we take the points and penalize them on the kickoff.
Yeah, there are a lot of variables and moving parts in that, and just even in that discussion. And I gave a nice reply and said I'll be sure to ask it, but it's not that simple of just go out here and make the field goal, and you don't turn back, you don't look back at what you did. It is also the players, there's some residual effect of the players saying, coach really believes in us that he's going to give us this opportunity to make this 4th.
That's something that people don't take into perspective, is the feeling that the players get when you back them.
Yeah, and the crowd at that time, because I think I remember the crowd kind of almost wanting to go for it in that case.
Right.
Because 4th and 10, no, you're not generally going to go for it. 4th and 5, because of the way you had been driving down the field
and
on that drive.
Are.
And where you are, you're right there in the red zone. And I'm sure Jake would look at that pass and say, good pass, but there's somebody there that he probably just didn't see.
He didn't see him. I mean, the kid made an exceptional play. But again, had we run the play as it's designed, as we practiced it, he wouldn't have thrown it where he threw it, and that guy wouldn't have been a factor.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just poor execution.
No, and that is what it is, and by no means am I encouraging people to start emailing me or Coach Winters about your feelings on Saturday night or Sunday morning, but this was one that I thought was just interesting, and I wanted to point out the difference between the 4th and 5, the 4th and 10. You missed the field goal on the early attempt. There are factors that go into this, and it's not where some people have a video game mentality about it. You can't have that same. Some of it is a gut feel, and some of it is, hey, let's look at what we can really do here.
Right. Exactly. Again, there were decisions. Here's a decision that cost us a little bit. It's 4th and 2. They have the ball and a 6-point lead. It's 8 minutes to go in the game. Do you put your punt return team on the field and have them go for it? Because they never put a punt team on the field. They always go with their offense. Or do you keep your defense on the field and force them to punt it? Well, we kept the defense on the field because we wanted the ball back.
Right.
We forced them to punt it. They punt the ball. It goes 71 yards. It rolls down to the 1-yard line.
Yeah.
That's not something that should happen, but it happened. But I can't second guess and say, well, I should have put my punt return team out on the field because they would have just gone for it.
Yeah, it's a different thing, and you just have to play the plays as they come, and sometimes you're going to get the better. It's not even a right or wrong. It's the better outcome or a different outcome.
Well, and we the first two plays, we gained 20 yards, and then we fumble.
Yeah.
If we don't fumble the ball, we're going to go right down the field. We're going to control the clock. We're going to finish the game like we finished the half, and we win the game.
Yeah, and that's a different thing that – like video games, you just can't control those all the time.
Right.
We're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back with our women's tennis spotlight, and we're going to have Ashley DeCita. She's got Dasha Kuznetsova on the other side of this break. We'll be right back.
How much more endurance on the court would Tom have if his sleep problems were addressed by a specialist? How much faster could Darnell get back to scoring touchdowns if he had a sports medicine expert treating his concussion? How much more would Priya enjoy running if she found out her shortness of breath was due to an easily treated respiratory condition? Whatever kind of athlete you are, At Henry Ford, we treat all of you. From injury prevention to leading-edge treatment, no one sees the whole athlete like we do. Henry Ford Sports Medicine is the only team in Michigan where every member is part of a unified group. Our sports specialists work together to get every muscle, bone, tendon, organ, nerve, and blood vessel of your body working so you can reach all of your goals. Get back in the game ASAP. Make an appointment today at henryford.com/sports. Henry Ford Health System, all for you.
For more than a decade, the Detroit Sports Commission has attracted regional, national, and international sporting events to Metro Detroit. What does this mean for our region? Hundreds and thousands of visitors and millions of dollars being pumped into our local economy over the past 10 years. From the Final Four to the Super Bowl, Detroit is where champions are made and championships are played. Find out how you can get involved at DetroitSports.org and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Student loan, car loan, credit card, whatever your financial needs are, Michigan First Credit Union is here to help. As the official financial institution of Wayne State Athletics, we have two branches and 11 ATMs on or near campus. Stop in or visit MichiganFirst.com for locations and details about how we can save you more money. Michigan First Credit Union is a proud supporter of Wayne State Athletics. Go Warriors!
Delta Dental of Michigan and Wayne State University are building brighter futures, healthier communities where families have access to care, smarter communities where dreams transform into reality, more vibrant communities where pride in where you live runs deep, because a good community feels like home, with friendly faces, sights, and sounds that foster a happiness you can't help but share. After all, a bright smile starts with a solid foundation. Learn more at deltadentalmi.com.
Ashley DeCita. I'm here with Dasha Kuznetsova from Women's Tennis for our Women in Athletics segment. Welcome, Dasha.
Thank you. Welcome.
We're so excited to have you here. So let's get our fans familiar with you. I mentioned you are on the women's tennis team. You're a senior. You're actually here from Russia. And so that's obviously a pretty substantial move. Can you share a little bit of your journey and what attracted you to making such a big move and ultimately moving to Detroit?
Well, I've been wanting to move to U.S. to play tennis since I was probably 12, since I ever went to the States to play a tournament. But obviously it was a really hard decision. I have a family, I have a younger brother, and it was really hard to leave them behind. But I knew I had to go because I wanted to continue balancing school and tennis. In other universities in Europe, it's not possible. You have to choose either school or tennis, but I wanted to do both. That's why I decided to come to the States. Talking about Detroit in particular, I think I developed good relationship with Coach Snyder, and even by talking to her in Skype, I knew that it was more about just tennis. I knew that she wanted to make us better people and prepare us for life after college. Yeah, so I guess that triggered my decision to come to Wayne State.
I love that. You said a lot. A lot was good packed in there. And so I just want to unload a little bit of it. So you obviously are coming off a pretty successful weekend at the ITA tournament in Grand Rapids, and so you guys are rolling now. And so let's speak a little bit on, you know, the tennis piece. You've obviously had a very successful career here, but can you speak to a little bit maybe of, you know, the journey and how you got there and maybe some of the possible roadblocks and adversity you saw along the way and ultimately what's kind of kept you motivated?
I was really struggling. My freshman year, I played four, and I think I went 14-14, so I lost half of my matches. It was pretty hard to get the whole college tennis system that you have to play for a team. You play doubles first, and then right after, even if you lose, you have to bounce back and play singles. So that was pretty hard. Especially if you lose doubles, you have to come back and be positive and play singles and start all over again. So that was really hard for me, but I think Coach Snyder and Coach Royal helped me a lot with it during the past 3 years. But I absolutely love being on a team. There is a big support all the time, and yeah.
Great. And we know that, obviously, I mentioned you've had quite a successful career, and the team this past season did very well. Can you speak maybe a little bit on both your individual goals and the team's goals for this upcoming year?
Well, I can just form all my goals into one. I want to get a ring.
There you go.
This year. So, yeah, we're working towards it, and I think we had a really great weekend. I think everyone played hard at ITAs. We're forming new doubles teams, so that's going to be a challenge, but I think we're looking great in practice, so we can expect a good result this year.
That's great. That's so exciting. And you also alluded a little bit to this in your first answer. You've obviously had to tackle quite a bit as far as the balance of tennis and school. We know you're a public relations major. We know you're a senior. We know you're involved heavily in SAC, and we'll get back to that in a little bit. But can you talk a little bit about how you developed those leadership skills and kind of the time management skills to be able to balance everything and kind of distinguish what needed to be prioritized on this day and versus this day?
Yeah, I'm also a German major, so I'm double major. So that's even more of like balancing not just schoolwork and tennis, I'm also balancing three languages. So it's really hard sometimes to even call my parents, and I just totally forget Russian. But I am a really organized person. I think I really like to do everything in advance. I never do anything last minute, and I always keep my planner in front of me. I like to write everything down, all my goals, all my all the things I have to do in the next week or month. So, because I tend to forget things, so I just tend to write them all down.
Obviously, writing things down and having that accountability and being able to see things is so important. But yes, SAC, I mentioned, for our listeners, that is our Student Athlete Advisory Committee. It's a very intentional community here at Wayne State that, you know, is representative of each team, and we work on various initiatives. But Dasha, you've been involved now. This is your second year, correct? And it's obviously a huge privilege, and it's very exciting for an athletic department of this size to be involved in that for 2 years. But talk a little bit about what SAC means to you and kind of what you love from it and what you're kind of hoping to see for this final year for you.
Yeah, I love SAC because I get to hear all those amazing ideas from all other leaders on other teams, and everyone has something great to say every time. And obviously we're working together towards making our athletic department better, and especially this year we've introduced our Golden W's, which was amazing. I think it was a great idea to have something like that. But yeah, I look forward to hearing what people have to say this year.
Well, that's great. And so tell us, before, as we wrap up, maybe what you guys have on tap next on the women's tennis team, kind of what is up ahead from a competition standpoint.
All right, so this weekend we're going up north. We're playing Michigan Tech and Lake Superior State. It's going to be a long road trip, but we're excited. I think we're going to do great.
Awesome. And then when are you home again?
I think we're home in the beginning of October. I believe it's October 6th.
Okay.
And I think that's when we play Saginaw Valley State.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, Dasha. We are very appreciative. Again, this was our Women in Athletics segment. That's Dasha from our women's tennis team. I am Ashley DeCida, and please check out WSU Athletics for any of our scheduled upcoming competitions.
Thank you.
Go Warriors.
Go Warriors.
That was Dasha Kuznetsova and Ashley DeCida. Dasha on the women's tennis team. And again, you can find all of the schedules, everything Wayne State Athletics direct related at WSUathletics.com. I wanted to go back to something as well from last week's game, the 30-21 loss to Ashland, and that was the run game. And it was difficult to really get it going the way that you wanted to, but you got to a point where you went a lot of your you call it the Mustang. Most people know it as the Wildcat. But was that a comfort level or something specifically in the way that Ashland's defense played that you saw that would be more effective, that you went to that for that one drive specifically? But I think it was another drive you went back to it, too.
I think that you look at the week before, we ran Deontay Nicholas on the jet sweep about eight times for about 17 yards a carry on the jet sweep alone. knowing going into that that they had seen that tape, we know they're prepared to stop the jet sweep. So on all of those runs, we fake the jet sweep.
Right.
And so when Deontay gets your attention, you have to sprint to the sideline. Mm-hmm. Well, you can fake it to Deontay and run straight up the middle with Demetrius. And so it was very successful.
So you're keeping Jake in on those, and he's kind of lined up just in the corner over there. Don't hit anybody. Don't do anything crazy out there. But that was effective enough, and it seems like, well, okay, there's no quarterback near the ball. They're going to run it. It's just a question of where, and if you're going straight up the middle. But as you said, it is just you've got so many other things, distractors that are going on that you can't just stack the box and count on something, one particular thing happening there. But once you started moving the ball with that, is that something that you put in your head and you say, we'll come back to that in the second half? Or do you just kind of – it gets you to that point and maybe calms Jake down a little bit or gets him a little bit more comfortable? Is that part of that decision
making? I think that was part of it.
Okay.
You know, you got a young quarterback who really has never started. So, yeah, go stand out there, and we're going to run the ball in here a little bit, and you relax and see that this isn't overwhelming. But as far as having him, you know, stand out and not hit anybody, he's 6'3", 225 pounds. I'm not worried about him hitting anybody. He's a big, strong kid.
Big, strong kid. I'm assuming, too, that when you're running a lot of that, it gets the offensive linemen going because they know this is just run for as much of this drive as we can handle.
You know, it's funny. You really need to see the video of the game because the offensive line, we didn't run the ball extremely well from a number standpoint, and some of that is sacks and things like that. But the offensive line was truly dominant. Mm-hmm. I mean, we knocked them off the football, and there were plays. You can kind of look at signature plays where the defensive line is being run over and defensive backs are turning down hits, and you're gaining 8-10 yards a crack, and people are laying down and not getting up.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you know you're going to win the game. So we were doing that, and if we don't turn the ball over – we're going to continue to do it, and we're going to win the game. So you're encouraged by that. Now you know you got a guy who can throw it all over the place. You can mix all that stuff in, and you can be very effective offensively.
And the other thing, too, is you went through the entire stack of running backs that you got, and I think we gave them the law firm of Stinson, Nicholas, Hill, and Sharon, or Sharon might be a junior partner in the law firm, but you ran through the complete complement of all of those guys, and so you give that defense a lot of different looks because those guys do it completely differently. You got speed guys, you got edge guys, you got guys who want to bounce to the outside. Sharon's going to run it just right at you. It gives them extra homework to try to prepare for your running game.
It does, and you also can go to the hot hand, and I think it was the end of the first – into the first half, Deontay Moffitt was awesome.
Yeah, he was going.
He was really just running extremely well, and that's exciting. And James Hill, you know, he's shown that he can do it. So we've got some guys that have ability, and we just have to figure out the best way to use them and when to use them. And that's the difficult part, but that's why you practice and work at it.
Yeah, if you've got five running backs, you don't have one. We'll stick with our theme from a couple of weeks ago. We're going to take our last break of the night. When we come back, we'll talk a look ahead at this week's game at Saginaw Valley State. When we come back on the Winners on Wednesday show on 1400 AM, The Patriot.
Whether you keep it on a spreadsheet, a memo on your phone, or a sticky note on your desk, you've probably got a lot on your to-do list. That's why Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Blue Care Network are here to help. No matter what size your business, we'll help you find more ways to stretch your budget, protect your employees, and streamline your healthcare benefits. Also, you can check off more lines on your list and get on with living. To see all the ways Blue Cross can help you, visit timeformore.com.
Michigan First Credit Union is the exclusive financial institution of Wayne State Athletics. With two branches and 11 ATMs on or near campus, our goal is to make your life easier and to exceed your expectations. Why choose anyone else for your banking needs? Let us show you why we're the best choice. Visit MichiganFirst.com for details. Michigan First Credit Union is proud to support Wayne State Athletics. Go Warriors!
Sometimes it's fun to drive, like when your friend gives you the keys to their new car for a test drive. And sometimes it's not fun to drive, like when you're at a concert and want to have a few cocktails but then have to drive home. Whether you're taking a small group of friends out for a night on the town or you're planning a trip for a large group of 50 or more, Trinity Transportation has you covered. They've got a huge fleet of vehicles, including vans, minibuses, and full-size luxury buses. Call them at 877-284-4200 or visit them on the web at trinitytransportation.com. When you want to have fun but don't want to drive, let Trinity Transportation take care of you. And please, don't drink and drive.
After a tough workout, plenty of athletes reach for a cold glass of chocolate milk. Why? It's got the right amount of high-quality protein and carbs proven to refuel and rebuild muscle. Chocolate milk also has electrolytes and bone-building calcium to replenish your body after any athletic activity. Get more from your training with chocolate milk, nature's sports drink. In Michigan, approximately 1,900 dairy farm families work to provide safe, high-quality milk and dairy products for us to enjoy. Approved by Michigan Dairy Market Program Committee. Milk means more.
Welcome back to the Winners on Wednesday show, our final segment of the night. Be looking at this week's game against Saginaw Valley State at Saginaw Valley State. You got to make the trip up there. But it's a 1 o'clock game where we've switched to the majority of the season now being 6 o'clock games in the evening. And Saginaw Valley starts out 3-0. They've got a couple of good wins. Truman State, they beat last week in the final minute of the game, last seconds or so.
Good game.
They were able to drive down and get a score, 21-20. They beat Walsh in week two, 41-10, and Alderson brought us 45-17. And their quarterback had 330 yards passing in that game, and they rushed for 220. So some of these games you can't really take a clear message from and say, hey, they ran really well or they passed really well, because – You got to look at the competition that they're facing, too, and you guys have beaten Walsh. We've beaten Walsh, so we understand what kind of that is, too, that you take the good things from it, but you can't ignore the bad things that happen in those types of games either. In the series against Saginaw Valley, what makes them such a formidable opponent from year to year to year?
I think Saginaw, when I started coaching in this league, it was one of the best teams by far. And they have a pretty good history of winning football. And I don't think that's changed much over the years. I think when we were having our greatest success, they were having success as well.
Yep.
And we were playing great games against them. So when you look at the leagues, the teams in this league, Saginaw is one of the teams with a good history, just as some of the others. But, you know, we know – Saginaw is going to be up for us, and they don't necessarily like us a whole lot, and we just have to be prepared to play.
We've won the last two against Saginaw, and looking at their quarterback, Ryan Conklin, a junior, has completed about 65% of his passes, over 600 yards, 6 TDs, and just 1 interception. When you've seen a guy for multiple years like that, do you have a good picture of what the expectation is, or do guys make significant jumps sometimes from year to year that you just don't know what to expect?
I think that you don't know how the people are working in the off season, but you expect him to be successful. You look at what he's done in the first three games. I mean, he's been outstanding. That Truman State game, if he doesn't, you know, rally them, they don't win that game.
Yeah.
Because Truman State was in position to win. He's a good quarterback, and they've got a great receiver, a heck of a running back. And we know that our defense has a big challenge ahead.
Yeah, their receiver leads the GLIAC with 23 catches, over 300 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So you certainly got to
– He's special.
He's a talented kid. I remember the name from a couple of years ago. But their running attack is very similar to ours in that they don't depend on one guy. They've got three guys that they sort of spread it around to. Jeremiah Johnson is over 100 yards. Nate McCreary, their sophomore, has 3 touchdowns. How much more difficult is that when, again, it's probably similar to what we do, where you've got multiple backs with different styles. When you break down the tape and you try to create a game plan for them, do you look at something that might change, that they might go to this guy a little bit more, they might run their version of a Wildcat a little bit more?
I think you worry about different styles when you have like a Romello Brown and a Deontay Nicholas. Because
Starkly different.
Exactly. But when you're talking about some of the differences, they're pretty similar. You're looking more at the scheme.
What have you seen defensively from them on tape?
Defensively, I think they're athletic. They're defensive ends. They've got a couple new ones from last year. They're a little bit more athletic. I think their secondary is good and sound. And I think their interior tackles are big and strong. And they're a good defensive football team.
You're coming in 1-2, and do you? It's not a point where you say your captains need to say something, or you need to bring this team up and make them mad and make them want to come out and play this game, because you come out and you want to play every game and you want to win every game, absolutely.
Yes, right.
But having a 2-game losing streak, is there something that – can you get the temperature of the locker room and kind of where guys are?
Well, I think everybody feels sick. Mm-hmm. You know, we had an opportunity – a golden opportunity to go 1-0 at home in the GLIAC, and against the defending GLIAC champs.
Exactly.
And again, like I say, you look at the tape, and the feeling that our guys had during that game was, hey, we're pushing these guys around.
Yeah.
We're knocking them off the ball. And, you know, they were a better football team because they didn't turn the ball over. We just have to – you know, we talked about it today with the team. You've got to visualize yourself having success, but you also have to visualize yourself in the situations that you're going to be in during the game. That way, our punter doesn't catch the ball and then drop it. You know what I mean?
In the drops, and everything else.
Exactly.
The fumbles.
You picture yourself making that play or doing that play, and then when you get into the game, you don't make that mistake because it's just not, you know, you don't put one step ahead of something else. As a coach, you would love to be able to coach every possibility of every mistake that could happen and say, okay, don't let this happen. Oh, don't let this happen. Don't let this happen. I think Saginaw, in one of their games, one of the teams kicked a little bunt kick on their kickoff cover. It didn't go 10 yards. Saginaw just had to back off. The guy tried to jump on it, missed it, and the other team recovered it.
Yeah, that's not something that you should be doing.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Those are just mistakes that happen that you'd like to coach them and you'd like to, you know, fix them. We told our guy, if they kick an onside kick that loops, just fair catch it.
Yeah.
In practice, and this is after we talked about it. We had a meeting. We showed him on tape. He caught the ball and took a knee. And we said, do you realize that they're going to kill you?
Yeah. it's almost like who was that, Texas State or North Texas, the guy who faked the fair catch and then he ran it back
right,
all the way.
Right.
So you can't plan for all those things, but certainly it is something that you want to visualize the possible outcome
exactly,
of it.
Exactly.
We'll
yes.
do that this week, and we'll come back next week with the result of the Saginaw Valley game. Thank you for joining us on the Winners on Wednesday show. We'll see you next time.
The green and gold will always stay flies over the field today.
You've been listening to Winners on Wednesday here on the Patriot. Go Warriors!